Okay, welcome everybody to Core Light's Spiritual Weather Report call for March 2019. And it's great to hear all your voices, and Leslie's sitting right here next to me. We're both smiling and happy, and so happy to be with you all. This is the highlight of our month, is to be here together in community, even though it's virtual. To be honest, we prefer seeing you eye to eye, but that's not possible because we're in South Africa, as you know. So, and actually, this is great that we can all be at home wherever we are in the world and in our pajamas. So Leslie has a message. I asked her if she, you know, as you know, if you've been on these calls, you know she's holding space and holding silence, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but I always ask her if she has a message for everybody, and today she said to tell you that she loves being here with you and holding space for everyone's ascension and consciousness. She says, I can feel all of your hearts, and we are all holding this field of love together. So we invite you to just be meditative during the entire call, whether we're talking or not, and just be yin and receive. Receive the transmission of Shakti that Leslie offers and the field of love that we're all holding as a community. So just allow that in. And whether you're live with us today or listening to this recording, it doesn't matter. We're all part of the field. We're all connected. There is no time and space. They don't really exist except in the third dimension. So you can tune in to these other levels of reality, and we're connected there beyond time and space in the unity and in love. And we'll all receive this transmission of light, no matter where you are in the world, no matter when you're listening to this call. Just do receive the energy. It's a great uplift. So we invite you to do that. And I wanted to start, we usually start with our guided meditation, but I'd like to start with a poem today. I heard Andrew Harvey say this poem recently. If you know Andrew, he's a colleague and a friend of ours, and he's just a brilliant, brilliant scholar and a translator of Rumi, one of the great mystics. So I'm going to read a Rumi poem to you. The grapes of my body can only become wine after the winemaker tramples me. I surrender my spirit like grapes to his trampling, so my inmost heart can blaze and dance with joy. Although the grapes go on weeping blood and sobbing, I cannot bear any more anguish, any more cruelty. The trampler stuffs cotton in his ears. I'm not working in ignorance. You can deny me if you want to. You have every excuse. But it is I who am the master of this work. And when through my passion you reach perfection, you will never be done praising my name. Ah, oh, I love that poem, and it's just so apropos for our times, so I couldn't resist. So without further ado, let's go ahead and start our guided meditation. I invite you to close your eyes and get comfortable. Take some long, deep, cleansing spiritual breaths. And relax. As you do this, it's important, no matter what position you're in, to keep your spine straight. If you're sitting in a chair, it's best to push your buttocks back against the back of the chair so that that will help you to keep your spine straight. And you want to make sure it's straight but relaxed. So just continue your breathing, long, slow, deep inhales. Long, slow exhales, breathing in the light, breathing out any tension you might be feeling, breathing in the luminous golden perfection that surrounds you. And breathing out any stress, any mental agitation, just letting go. And let's also relax our muscles from head to toes. Please visualize a warm, viscous liquid pouring over the top of your head like honey. And feel the scalp muscles relax. Everywhere this liquid touches, the muscles relax. And allow it to pour over your brow, relaxing your forehead, your eyebrows, and your eyes, allowing your eyes to just drop back into their sockets, completely letting go of any tension. You have lots of tiny little muscles all around the eyes. Just allow them to let go and relax. Temples, cheeks, nose, mouth, ears, your jaw, and especially the back of the tongue. Just focus for a moment on the back of the tongue. Sometimes it's helpful to keep your lips together, breathing through your nose, and your teeth slightly apart, letting your jaw hang just a little bit. And relax the back of your tongue. That relaxes the whole region in the back of the head and the neck and the shoulders. So just allow that deep relaxation, deeply, deeply letting go. Relaxing your shoulders, your neck, and your upper torso, and your arms, upper arms, lower arms, wrists, hands, and fingers. Deeply, deeply letting go. Remembering your breathing. Relaxing your abdomen, lower back, your hip flexors. Focus for a moment on the hip flexors. That's also a place where if we can relax that area, it relaxes the whole region of the pelvis. Breathe the light into that area and breathe out any tension you might be feeling. Completely letting go any tension. Relax your buttocks and your genitals. Relax your thighs and your hamstrings and your knees and your lower legs and your ankles, feet, and toes. Deeply, deeply letting go. Continuing your breathing, breathing in the light, breathing out the stress. And now let's do another scan of the body from scalp to toes. I'll be quiet while you do this and just relax any muscles that might be holding any tension still. We forget how important the relaxation is. It may be the most important part of this call. So I'll be silent for a few moments and just scan your body, relaxing any tension that's still being held in the muscles. Nice. So let's start the energetic part of our meditation by putting our attention in the root chakra, which is the place between the genitals and the anus, the perineum. And feel how when you put your attention there, the root chakra automatically relaxes and opens. It's deeply relaxing just to put your attention there. Drop your grounding cord from there down into the earth as far as you can, as far as you care to go, all the way down to the center, if you're able to. Connect your grounding cord with the center of the earth. And like a straw, draw up from the earth a feeling of groundedness and safety and comfort. This is so important for our spiritual journey. We sometimes forget about the importance of relaxation and the feeling of safety and how important it is to just let yourself relax into safety. Nowadays, most of us are holding some level of fear in our awareness, in our body. And when we hold fear at any level, even if it's just a small amount, even if it's just worry, worry is just a small amount of fear, but still it's fear. And when we hold this, it affects all the chakras and holds us in tension. And creates issues for us throughout our day, spoiling our ability to hold the light and to hold joy and to choose love. So just draw up from the earth and place in your root chakra this feeling of safety and surrender. And remember, the safety that we're talking about is not the safety of everything staying the same all the time. It's the safety of Earth being what it's supposed to be, which is about change. Change upon change upon change. And we can relax into this knowing that that's why we came here. It's why we incarnated, was to experience this, to live this. When we can relax into that, it's a huge life change. So just relax into this feeling of safety and comfort. And feel yourself like a surfer, surfing the waves of change, riding the waves with great mastery, feeling safe and confident, and letting the energy of the waves propel you forward on your journey. Bring into your body this feeling of being nurtured by the earth, knowing the perfection of everything that's presented to us in each moment, each day, no matter what it looks like. So allow yourself to relax and surrender into this knowing, into this sense of peace and groundedness and anchoring that the Mother Earth provides for us. Just allow gravity to do its work and help you to relax into Earth, into the arms of the Mother like a little baby, being nurtured, being held and rocked so peacefully, so gently. Just breathe deeply into that knowing, into that surrender. Deeply, deeply, deeply letting go. And then when you feel ready, bring that beautiful energy that you're holding in the root up the Sushumna, up the central core of the body, the core of light that is inside each one of us. It runs right in front of the spine. It's called the Sushumna in Sanskrit. And bring that energy up to the heart. You can use your finger to tap the center of your chest if you want, which is where the heart chakra is. And just put this energy there. And feel the love. Feel the love that exists there. This is the place where we forgive any sense of betrayals, any sense of victimization we might be carrying in our lives. Just letting go into love, into your love of the earth, into your love of yourself, into your love of spirit. And it's okay if you're in a very dark place, if you're in a shadowed place and you can't feel that, that's all right. Just set the intention that you would like to feel that. And as we always say, there's a way to cheat and get yourself into this place if you want, which is to smile. Just turn the corners of your mouth up and smile and feel yourself flooded with love and joy in the heart chakra. Visualize a radiant sun in the center of your chest, burning brightly, shining its love. Give it a color, like maybe golden white or pink or green. Give it a color and let it radiate beautiful, loving energy out throughout your chest, penetrating your skin and radiating out into your aura, radiating this beautiful light and love and joy. And one of the easiest and fastest ways to experience this is to remember your love of spirit. And to remember Spirit's love of you. So just actively allow yourself to feel those two things, loving Spirit and knowing how much Spirit loves you. Feel that deeply in your heart and let it expand, let it open, and let it radiate. Feel it filling your entire aura, filling you with love and light and joy, spreading out and out until it encompasses your whole body from head to toes. And then let's move this energy up further from the heart. Move it up through the central core, all the way up to the center of your head, which is the place known as the Cave of Brahman. And if you've been around Corelight for a while, you know this place well. And if you might be new to Corelight, this is a very powerful place to learn about. It's kind of a magic place. It's a place where you can connect with your higher self and with the cosmos quickly and easily. And all you do to find it is to draw a line straight back from your third eye, which is just between the eyebrows and slightly above, and then draw another line between your ears. And where those two lines intersect, that is the center of your head. It's where the pineal, pituitary, and hypothalamus reside. So just feel that place. And when you find it, you'll know, because your consciousness does a shift. It's a subtle shift, sometimes not so subtle. Puts you into a place of no thought, no mind. Just being present with what is. And I can feel we're all holding this together now, so allow yourself to slip into it. You don't have to think about it too much. Just set the intention that that's what you want, and with your will, it will happen. And that's okay if you're not feeling it. You will at some point. You can practice. So visualize and feel in this place, in the center of your head, the Cave of Brahman, a brilliant miniature sun radiating its light. Getting brighter and brighter and bigger and bigger. Letting its rays permeate out through your cranium, out through your skin, until your entire head is encompassed by this beautiful ball of golden white light and loving, joyful energy. And feel the happiness that comes from this. Feel the joy. And allow yourself to slip into no mind, no thoughts. Just the sound of my voice.
Well, it looks like we may have lost Brad. So just hold on, everybody. Stay in this beautiful meditative space. And I'm sure he will be coming back online very quickly. So staying in the Cave of Brahman. Allowing ourselves to be in this no-thought space. So just feeling yourself remaining expanded in this beautiful field together. And slowly beginning to bring your awareness back into the seat you're sitting in, and being ever so gentle, please maintain this exquisitely beautiful meditative state of consciousness as we come back into the room that we're sitting in. Perhaps calling on our beloved teachers and guides, angels and archangels, to join with us today as those of us in the northern hemisphere move into our spring of our seasonal circle, and those in the southern hemisphere begin to move into the fall, the harvest of our cycle. And very slowly, begin to bring yourself back into the room that you're sitting in, maybe wiggling your fingers and your toes as we're feeling very held in this beautiful meditation. And whenever you are ready, you may slowly begin to open your eyes. And welcome everyone to the Spiritual Weather Report call. We're so glad to have you on the call today. And I'm laughing because I have been feeling so ungrounded as we are making this transition from 3D consciousness into fifth dimensional consciousness. And we have, or Brad has lost connection right now with the rest of us. I'm just kind of holding space here. Brad and I did not talk about a particular topic of conversation, so I'm not really quite sure what he was wanting to discuss with all of us today, but it definitely feels to me like this ungroundedness, this dissolution, this topsy-turvy energy. Oh, Brad, welcome back.
How long was I off?
I just gave a little while.
Wow. Yeah. Leslie and I had a wonderful guided meditation here. I'm so sorry you couldn't hear it.
We heard most of it. We were in the cave of Brahman and no thought.
Oh, all right. Well, you did it, but you only missed the invocation and the prayer then.
That's right. That's all we missed.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe I'll just say that quickly now.
Would you? That would
so
be
we
wonderful,
can all
Brad.
Share in that. Yeah. So I'm sorry about that, everybody. Technical difficulties today. This happens sometimes when calling in from South Africa. You never know what's going to happen with the phone and the electricity here. So let's just keep your eyes, if you haven't opened your eyes already, maybe you have, but let's just all close our eyes again and get into that deep space of relaxation. And I'm just going to say a quick prayer and an invocation for our call. I've already done it, but here we go again. So we call on the Great Spirit. We call on the Divine Mother, Father, God, the Self that we all are. We call on all the ascended masters and archangels and beings in the invisible realms, all the gods and goddesses. And I invite each of you to call on the lineage masters and highest beings who you know guide your path. So just silently right now, invite them into this call. We invite in our highest guides and teachers who surround us in love and support in the highest way. We ask that you please help us hold this field of love together. Please surround us in love, surround us in light. Guide our conversation into the highest wisdom, the highest love. Fill us up so that we can be rejuvenated and deeply in peace and share that love and the joy with others. And let's expand our field to encompass the earth, this field of love that we all hold together. Just visualize it encompassing earth. And we ask that this love that we hold uplift and heal all sentient life on the planet, animals, plants, nature, Mother Earth herself, all humans, all who suffer as we transition from one age to the next. We're all going through challenges, as is the earth. So we ask that this love, this loving field and this divine light that we generate today, may it support and bring peace and comfort to all beings, including ourselves. And we give such great thanks for the opportunity to be together today and share our love, share our light and wisdom with each other. Deep, deep gratitude. Thank you. Amen. Okay, so when you feel ready, please open your eyes and come back into the room if you haven't already. So before I get started, Barbara, just doing another sound check just to make sure I'm on and you can hear me and everything okay?
Yes, we are back together again, Brad. Hearing
okay.
You loud and clear.
All right, I'll keep checking the board just to make sure I haven't dropped on the call.
Good.
But thank you. Thank you, Barbara, for picking up the conversation if I do drop off. So, I'd like to actually read the poem again. I can see there are quite a few callers who've called in who missed the beginning, and I just love this poem so much. It's a Rumi poem that I heard Andrew Harvey speak recently, and it so speaks to our times. So I'm just going to read it one more time. The grapes of my body can only become wine after the winemaker tramples me. I surrender my spirit like grapes to his trampling, so my inmost heart can blaze and dance with joy. Although the grapes go on weeping blood and sobbing, I cannot bear any more anguish, any more cruelty. The trampler stuffs cotton into his ears. I'm not working in ignorance. You can deny me if you want. You have every excuse. But it is I who am the master of this work. And when through my passion you reach perfection, you will never be done praising my name. Wow. So I just love that poem because, if you were on the call last month, you know how challenging a time this has been. And it feels like many of us are going through a dark night of the soul. And we certainly know that the earth, the collective, is going through a dark night of the soul. So to me, that poem speaks to that. And it gives me great comfort And if you weren't on last month's call, I would strongly recommend that you give it a listen. Go find it in the archives and listen. We invited Allie Drummond to be our guest speaker last week, and we talked about her journey of healing from stage 4 bone cancer, the total miracle. And if you were on the call, we got more feedback and compliments about that call maybe than almost any other call. It was a very powerful call to talk about the challenges, the pain, the struggle that many of us are going through at this time. And, you know, she shared with us about her healing journey and how to move through that extreme pain, and especially finding gratitude for what we do have, finding a way to love through all of that, and remembering the truth of painful experiences, and that is that we always come out the other side feeling better, and we always look back and we see in retrospect why we needed that experience. We always, well, if we're conscious, we can see that somehow it was a gift, and we see how it made us stronger and a better person somehow. So anyway, it was profound, I felt. And we talked about the acceleration and the intensity of life right now, and how all the challenges that many of us are facing are being amplified. If you're not one of those people, if you're not going through challenges, then you can just consider yourself blessed, and that's just fine. But I know most people that I talk to are going through extreme challenge. Some people going through the hardest times of their lives, and there's fear and anxiety and pain and trauma and all of those things in the downward spiral. So, you know, whether it's something you're experiencing in your body or something else like money or relationships or moving your house or something to do with your family or your work, maybe it's more of an internal process, but whatever it is, we're all in this together. And I know for some people that I've talked to, there's been a bit of a lag time. Many people experienced it last month, and some people experienced it this month. I guess it peaks at different times for each of us. But there have been these challenges for all of us, but for most people, for everybody I've talked to anyway. For most of us, I feel like since we talked last, we've taken a next step. We've taken a next step in our process, and we're already coming out the other side of whatever it is that we're going through right now. And it may not be complete. I feel like for me and for most people that I know, in fact, for everybody, it's not complete. But we can feel we've taken a next step, and there is some hurdle that we've crossed. And it just feels so incredibly wonderful to have cleared a hurdle. And if you're experiencing this, you know what I mean. There's a part of you that knows you're on the other side of that peak, and or that you're almost there. And it's okay if you're not there yet, if you're still peaking with the challenge. Hang in there. It is coming. And I guess the reminder that I would give everybody is that this process that we're all going through is the process of dissolution and rebirth. And Leslie did an audio recording called Dissolution and Rebirth long ago. And I think it's in the Spiritual Warrior course. I can't remember if it's semester one or semester two, but if you haven't heard that in a while, it's a great one to re-listen to right now. It really applies to our times, very apropos for right now, Dissolution and Rebirth. So you might want to go dig that out of the archives and blow the dust off it and listen to it. So what happens in this state is that we're all feeling like we're in a state of limbo, this dissolution. We haven't been reborn quite yet, and we're still either dissolving or the dissolution is well underway, but we've talked about this for a while now. It's like the feeling of being the artist staring at the blank canvas. So we experience the fear and the worry of looking at a blank canvas and the unknown and all of that, but we also have this great excitement and anticipation and being poised for expression and creativity and a sense of productivity to come through. So it's very exciting, actually. And if you're at the place where I am, that's what you're feeling. I'm very much in that right now. It's like we've turned a corner, we've crossed the hurdle, and we can feel this thing that's coming. It's very exciting. And it may be uncomfortable, but there's so much potential, and you can feel it. It's almost like taking a swan dive off of a cliff, you know? Leslie's laughing. I know you know what I'm talking about. It's that old adage that Leslie talked about for so long. Leap and the net will appear. So here we go. Here we go. Let's all hold hands together as we leap off this next cliff. So this month we saw a huge amount of intensity play out in the world. If you followed, I don't follow the mainstream news anymore, but things do come to me, and I know that I get what I need to hear. Here where we are in South Africa, we were very, very close to the cyclone that hit Mozambique and Zimbabwe. It was just north of here. So we got that weather for, a week or two. And it was a very, very intense storm. So many people killed and displaced and homeless and injured and so on. So we hold those people in our thoughts and prayers. And also, we heard about the mass shootings that happened in New Zealand and the anti-Muslim sentiments that were expressed with that. And so these are all things that are our global traumas, our collective dark nights of the soul. And I was thinking in the last few weeks about how amazing it is that this chaos and the madness of our world has become normalized. If this had happened a long time ago, any one of these things would have thrown us all into great shock. And not that they aren't shocking, they still are shocking, but it's like we've come to expect these things. And so I just want to bring attention to that. It feels really important to name it. And I hope you'll all hold that with me as I put that into our circle today. I was also talking with friends here in South Africa about our projects that we do out in the rural area here. It's a very, very poor area. It's actually abject poverty and 70%, 80% unemployment out there, if you can imagine that. Very little water, very little electricity. 1 in 3, some people say 1 in 2 people is HIV positive. So lots of illness, lots of death. And this has become normalized. It's something people live with and people just come to accept. And I was thinking about this, just thinking, there are women, we learn about this through the people we serve out there, and there are women who are selling themselves for just a few dollars, $2-3 to be able to eat and to help their families. I mean, it's insane. It's insane. And I think about this and I think, how can this be? How can this be? How is this in any way normal? And it's not. And so I just was looking at this and really pondering about this massive change that we're going through in the world. And what gave me heart, what gave me hope and heart and the ability to really get through this was to remember that we're at this pivot point. We're at a pivot point in human evolution. And what an amazing time this is that we live in, and how extraordinarily fortunate we are to be part of it, that we're doing this work. We're doing this work on ourselves and in the world to spread love and to live in love. And to become love, to know ourselves as love and to share love. And this is the new paradigm being birthed. It is the shifting of the paradigms. Each time we do something generous, each time we smile at somebody, each time we perform an act of love. And so we are moving from that system of separation into this new paradigm of heart-centered consciousness. And when we remember that, and when we can tap into it, and if we know what to look for, we see it, then we see that there's not only the madness and the destruction and the chaos, but there's also the birth. It's also the birth of the new paradigm of heart-centeredness and love coming forward. And I just also, you know, speaking of the news, the collective news, I don't know about you, but I certainly heard about this prime minister from New Zealand. It makes me cry every time I talk about it. She demonstrated for the world that the only appropriate response to the madness is love. And when these mass shootings and the anti-Muslim sentiments came out, she donned a veil. You know, she wore the hijab, and she went out and was with the Muslims and told them that she loves them. And there was a picture of her wearing a veil, hugging a Muslim woman. And it went viral. So I know lots of people saw it, and they actually projected it, or they, I forget how they did it, but they put it on the tallest building, I believe, in the world. It was in Dubai, I think. They put it on there, and there was a message with it that said to this prime minister, thank you. Thank you for showing love and respect to 1.5 billion Muslims around the world. So, you know, when we're met with the hatred and when we're met with the violence, it's critical for all of us that we remember to choose love. And that's the message that Leslie always gave us for 25 years. And she was teaching verbally. She's still teaching, just inwardly. But, you know, the message, we thought it would be a bumper sticker. Choose love. So that's how the new paradigm will birth, is in the face of the madness and the chaos and the hatred and destruction and violence and all these things. Choose love. So, yeah, Leslie's just chanting choose love right now. She's saying it's always been this way. Choose love, choose love, choose love. So I, along with this, I was remembering some of the key principles that Leslie always shared with us that are so important that we use right now. And one of them is remembering that the outside world is just a mirror of our own unconscious self. And I would say that's one of the overriding principles that we all need to remember right now in order to navigate these times. So to change the world, we start inside of us. We do the inner work. We choose love. We do the processing. We do our meditation. We do our spiritual practice, whatever it is that we do to get clear inside and to feel peace and love inside, and to allow us to keep our hearts open no matter what. You know, that's what we need to do. And when we clear the inside, that's what's going to shift the outside, because it's not the other way around. You know, we have to be careful of thinking, well, if only we could get rid of this person in power, then everything would be okay. Because we know that that's not how it works. It's tempting to think that way, because the truth is that there are a lot of psychopaths and a lot of really terrible tyrants in positions of power right now all over the world. But when we think those thoughts, we think that's the solution. That's victim consciousness. That means that we're a victim. And when we think those thoughts and believe those thoughts, we're really just perpetrating, we're perpetuating the cycle. And when we do that, all that means is that another tyrant is going to step into power if the first one gets knocked out. And so the key is to shift the patterns inside us. And then the outside world will not have to mirror that split inside of us anymore. If we've got victim consciousness inside, it'll be mirrored outside. So that's the key, is to process our inner shadows, process that victim consciousness, so that we can keep the heart open no matter what, that we can live in love and forgiveness. And this is not New Age gobbledygook. It's not spiritual bypassing. You know, there are times when we do have to feel the anger, and we've got to, you know, stand up and shout and say, this is not okay. What's happening? You know, here's the line. No, you cannot cross this line. But we have to do that from a place of love, not from a place of hate or fear. So that's the key. Anyway, we could go on about this, but I also want to make sure that we have time for sharing and questions. So a few things before we open up the microphone. I feel like one of the very important things we all need to remember right now is to not give up on spirit. I know that when we're shoved into the dark night, or even just into extreme challenge, it may not be a dark night, if it's just having a hard time, the temptation is to give up, on spirit and say, this is for the birds. And that's what we can't do. We can't do that right now. If we're going to be choosing love, then we're choosing spirit. So the witness is also one of those principles that Leslie taught us for 25 years that is ultra important right now. Witnessing the challenges, witnessing what's happening inside you, witnessing your thought forms, witnessing your emotions, and remembering that this is not who we are, that we are the pure awareness, we are the love, we are a soul incarnated in a body having a human experience, but we are the essence, we are the soul, we are the pure awareness. We are not these bodies. We are not the emotions. We are not the traumas happening in our lives and in the world. So I also, there was an image that came to me that I wanted to share with you as I was pondering all of this month. It's been a big month. I don't know about you, but boy, it was a huge month of transformation for me. I really took a huge shift this month, and I know a lot of people did. And I got this image that I wanted to share with you. I hope it's helpful. I visualize myself as a butterfly. And see each of us as butterflies. We've been through the chrysalis phase. We became liquid. We dissolved completely inside the chrysalis, and then we reformed, and it opened up, and we emerged as a butterfly. And we haven't flown yet. Our wings are still drying. Our wings are wet, and we're sitting on a leaf, and the wings are slowly flapping and drying. We've been reborn, but haven't left yet. And as we sit on this leaf, our feet are still touching the old paradigm, still standing on the leaf, which represents the old forms of our lives, old forms of the world. And we're almost ready to fly, but not quite. So that's what's coming. That's the potential. That's the feeling of leap and the net will appear, right? But I think instead of a net, we're going to sprout wings and start flying. Leslie's saying, we're going to take off and we're going to believe in love. That's our message. Okay, so anyway, I feel like that's what I wanted to share with you today, with this month. And I realized that I didn't share with you some information about holding the dates. So maybe what we do is just leave a few minutes at the end, Barbara. What do you think? We'll do our sharing and questions, and then right at the end, I'll share the information about hold the dates. Because
yeah,
we have events coming up in the U.S. Okay, great. Yeah, just stay tuned because we're going to have in-person events again, CoreLight events in the United States, and we're very excited. I was invited to a number of cities, and we've mapped out the dates and the cities. And in fact, there were enough cities that I was invited to that we can't fit them all in. So there'll be more. So just know that this is we're so excited. We're so excited to be gathering in person again. And I hope you'll be able to join us. So more about that at the end of the call. So Barbara, why don't you remind everybody how do you raise your hand and so forth?
Sure, Brad, I'd be happy to. And could I just do a quick little tag on to your beautiful sharing? I love the image.
Yes,
I did not see the image of the Prime Minister of New Zealand in her veil. But I can feel it as you're describing it. I did hear her talking. I believe she's the one that stated that there would be no more I want to say armored guns, but automatic rifles. That she took it upon herself to ban that. And what I was feeling as you were describing her and going into the Muslim community and putting her arms around the Muslims, that's what we're being asked to do internally. We're being asked to befriend all those parts. And I won't say more about that, but perhaps we can just all be feeling into that, because as we become more conscious and more evolved, those parts that have been wounded and have been in hiding for so long are beginning to show themselves. And if we can walk amongst them in loving kindness, it will help to heal us within so that can then be reflected externally as well. So I just really wanted to share that piece.
Thank you, Barbara. Beautifully shared, beautifully spoken. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. And now, if you'd like to share, it's star 2 to raise your hand. Or please write on the Q&A board if you're on the web, and I'll be happy to read out whatever you may want to share. Okay, so star 2 to raise your hand. And we do have a hand raised here. And Chris, you have the mic.
Thank you, Barbara, and hey, Brad, and Leslie. Much love to you all, and also everyone on the call.
Welcome, Chris. Great to hear your voice. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you too. I'm looking forward to many good things this year.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, one of the things that I've been holding in a little bit of tension is sort of the balance, finding the balance between determination and acceptance in kind of how I think about the collective, but also how the collective energy is impacting my life. The practice part is good, and I think part of it, and I think I've spoken to other people too in my groups and everything, that talk about how difficult determination has been to kind of hang in there with the energy that's needed, the focus that we need to sort of stay with the endeavor of real change, of lasting evolutionary change. I feel like a lot of people are really tired and just kind of almost weary. And so that's made it a challenge to kind of remain inspired and there's a word, it's kind of an interesting term. It's called conation. I don't know if you've heard this term, but it's a word that implies sort of intention with will, intention with some energy to it. And so often, you know, when we talk about our meditation practice or how to find balance, this process of conating is one of bringing intention into sort of a willfulness, and you know, that has sort of an energy, a force to it. And so there's, I think the intentions are good, but the energy, I wonder how much of that is other people are struggling with, just to keep that going. And then the other side of that polarity, which is an interesting thing to think about, doing triangles or squares, maybe determination and acceptance, is it's almost as if acceptance takes letting go or easing around the way things are at this point in time. And I'm finding a lot of people are having a hard time with that part too. And so I wonder, maybe a better way to say it is that we're a bit at risk for getting stuck. And maybe I'm projecting, maybe this is my mirror projecting out. So some of the questions there are, you know, what is really at the heart of depleting our energy? Is it a sense of helplessness? Are we believing a little too much in the split, as you said, Brad, that the split itself actually holds the power as opposed to the unity? The other thought I had too was going back to Leslie's teachings on impeccability and how much of energy management at this point, I wonder, is more of a collective endeavor, something we really need more than ever to do together, rather than, you know, and or in addition to the impeccability that we cultivate in balancing our own inner energy. My sense is it's definitely both, that we're, you know, we're being asked to both maintain our own energy management, and that of also doing it in community is really important. So those are just some thoughts sort of from my end of the world and of the spirit. Another thing, too, that's been interesting to think about lately is the legacy of trauma. And I just saw an article recently, I think it was in BBC, written about how if you're a male that was born to a father who had experienced some form of trauma, that actually it can be passed down not just through sort of just learned behavior, but that there's almost an epigenetic process that's possible that gets sort of inherited from the father. So not necessarily a genetic coding, but more of an expression of certain tendencies that the father experienced. And that's been kind of sitting with that as well, as from the standpoint of patriarchy and how much of what we're witnessing are these just generations of inheriting certain forms of trauma, and on the larger scale, and why we're seeing just this incredible battle, almost a civil war between, you know, the patriarchy and the need to change. So I'm wondering if any of that is sparking any thoughts, Brad, that you might have about this. But those are just some of the things that I've been kind of processing a bit. But I do feel as if determination and acceptance is a really important polarity maybe to look at for people who are feeling a sense of helplessness and or at least feeling stuck with.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. Wow, all, you know, great insights that you're sharing with us. It all rings true for me. That's a great, I think it's a great invitation for all of us to do a square or triangle or whatever works for us on that polarity, determination versus acceptance. And Barbara, that might be something for you guys to do on the monthly squares call, that you could throw that into the pot and see if people would like to process that. Because
definitely, Brad,
yeah,
I've got
Barbara.
It written down. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Well, because I feel you're right, Chris. I mean, this surrender, you know, and letting go to what is something that we've all practiced for a long time. And, you know, that might be easier for us than, like, I think what you're saying is determination could maybe also be called tenacity or the will to continue, you know.
Right.
And I know exactly what you're talking about. I can share a little story. I shared this on a previous call long ago, but when I was in the United States last, I entered the country in August, and it became so crystal clear to me energetically when I entered that country. There was a wall that I hit, a wall of fear and anger. It was so palpable. I couldn't believe it. It was shocking. It was like I've entered the country. You know, I've been traveling internationally, as you know, for a very long time. And when I come back into the country, you know, there's usually something new to feel, and you become aware, oh, this is the collective thought form of this place. And, you know, I can witness that and let it pass through. And I don't have to buy into that. It's not me. You know, it's a collective thought form. But this was different than I'd ever experienced.
Right.
It was like the lid of a pressure cooker, and the lid was made of a very intensely thick wall of fear and anger. And it felt like not only the lid of a pressure cooker, but it felt like, I don't know how to describe it. I can only tell you what I felt. And what I felt was, it was like something was beaming that energy, beaming that vibration at everybody. And I don't know, I don't claim to know what that is. I don't know if it's just the fact that the media is ramping it up so much that lots of people are in it and therefore it's magnified, or if there's something else going on that we don't know about. I don't know. But whatever it is, it's palpable. And I was there for 3 months. I was in the U.S. for 3 months. And as soon as I felt it when I entered, I thought, all right, I'm going to be here 3 months. This is going to be intense. I'm going to have to really practice witnessing to get through this because it's that intense. And by the time I left the U.S., I was doing okay, but I was getting tired. I was really getting tired of witness, you know, just sheer determination, as you call it, just sheer practice of holding my witness and holding the light and saying, I'm not this fear. I'm not this anger. This is not me. This is something collective, and I'm not buying into it. But it was hard. And what I watched was everybody around me, almost without exception, everybody was like a fish in the water. And, you know, when we're a fish in water, we don't even realize that we're in water. Water is just, you know, the natural medium that we're in, and we don't notice it. So I felt like everybody had somehow become inured. People had become you know, so used to the fear and anger, they just kind of didn't notice it anymore, I guess. And it pulls on your energy. It makes you tired. It makes you weary. It makes you lose hope. It makes you not want to continue to, you know, to give up, surrender, not in the good sense. But So I hear what you're saying, and I just feel like I have to acknowledge that this piece is very real. This piece, it is happening, especially in the U.S. I don't feel it in other countries. I mean, I haven't traveled everywhere, but I traveled to many countries in Europe and South Africa and Brazil, and I don't feel it in those countries like it is in the U.S. So whatever's going on, and I know most people on this call are in the U.S. We usually have a handful of people from other countries, but if you're in the U.S., please, I'm saying this to you to kind of help bring a witness to it. And Chris, you've named it. So I feel like, the things you're mentioning are critical. Practicing our individual impeccability, our energy management, our witnessing, keeping the practice of acceptance and the determination going. You know, even though it's hard. You know, we have to pull out. We have to pull out all the stops. We've got to pull out all of our tools right now to get through this.
Yeah,
I think that's what I feel.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think one of the tools I think that I've found probably the most helpful is the solidarity, is what we might call spiritual solidarity. Groups. Acknowledging, that they're doing things that are also non-dispersive, which is music and chanting, and just to enliven the heart again. I led a group, actually, I led a day retreat today with people, all of whom were probably 85. And we actually, I thought, you know what, we need to get some levity in here. So I had everybody write down three characters in a fairy tale that they're making up. It doesn't have to be a Disney fairy tale, but who are you in this fairy tale? What is the challenge and what is the solution? And then it was anonymous, and then everybody, we put them into a basket and shook them up, and then people read other people's, anonymously, other people's characters, and it was so much fun, and there was a lot of humor in it, but also some very real opportunities to engage in teaching. And I feel like, you know, really bringing creativity into the process is also so important right now, just to sort of reposition our perspective. So I think that's that. I've noticed that actually being a really helpful tool, and doing it in community, doing it in solidarity with other people as a way to kind of reclaim some of that vigilance, or that, you know, kind of a, why are we doing this? Oh, it's not just me, but it's all of us. As you say, all of us in the water. So.
Yeah, Chris, I think you're right on. All those things you mentioned are critical. I mean, you could call them spiritual tools, right? The community or spiritual solidarity, as you're calling it. Leslie used to call it keeping the company of the holy, and that is simply being around people with similar intention, you know, that we're all intending to wake up and we're all intending to choose love. That's critical. And especially humor and especially creativity, those I practice those constantly every day. You know, finding some way to laugh, finding some way to be creative, even if it's just dancing or singing a song or, I don't know, for a few minutes, whatever it is. Yeah. But all of those things are critical.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for letting me.
I didn't experience what you said as venting at all. I think what you're doing is naming. You're naming something that's very important, that's happening to everybody, you know, and the temptation is not to talk about it because it seems like a downer. But if everybody.
Right.
Looks like we may have lost Brad. I think he just dropped.
We seem to lose him. We seem to lose Brad. Critical moment. Wisdom.
Yes, isn't that fascinating? Well, and I'm loving, Chris, what you are sharing, because I think many of us can truly relate to, you know, this depletion of energy and, you know, and feeling, you know, taking it personally, you know, giving up the good fight, and what you're mentioning about community. And Brad said, as he was responding to you about Leslie's mantra, the bumper sticker of choosing love, and this is our way of staying conscious as we're going through this, because I certainly, for one, can really relate to this depletion of energy and this exhaustion. And Brad was talking about, you know, this wall of fear, or this pressure cooker that we are all in. And, you know, he was talking about fish in water, but I want to say it's more like the frog in the water. and the temperature is getting warmer and warmer, and we're just not even realizing that you know we're cooking here in the soup. So looks like Brad is back. Yay, Brad!
Right.
Here you go. I've been muting you, Brad, because of the feedback. So I'm kind of been doing little musical chairs with the mute button so that we can all
thank you
without too much feedback. Yeah.
Well, thanks, Barbara. And I'm sorry for the technical challenges this month. We haven't had this before, but I think I got in most of what I was going to say. The last thing I said, I don't know if you heard, Chris, was just about how I really appreciate your sharing what you shared, and you know, you're naming something that's very important that we are all experiencing, and if we're not talking about it, then it's an elephant in the room.
Right. Yeah.
So thank you for bringing it up. That the, you know, it's funny because we don't want to talk about it because it feels like a downer, and yet you know, if we're not talking about it just because it feels like a downer, but it's about something everybody's experiencing, what are we doing? You know, we have to talk about that stuff. So I am really glad you brought it up.
Thank you. Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Chris. That was really, truly wonderful. Okay, so we have, let's see, hold on here. We've got a comment on the web from Alana, and she says, as I was listening to Brad, I had a thought that 2,000 years ago, there was a shift from the Old Testament, eye for an eye, to the New Testament of love that Jesus came to teach. History repeats.
Ah, beautiful. Yeah, great example. Thank you, Alana.
Yes, and well, you know, Nostradamus predicted the golden age of the 2,000 years of peace. So I really am feeling this sense of this shift into the next age of the 2,000 years of peace, where we fully embody and embrace love.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
beautiful.
Barbara. I also, I was listening to a lecture by Andrew Harvey recently, and he told a story that I loved. It was about his greatest spiritual teacher was a man. Okay. Can you hear me okay, Barbara?
Sorry, Brad. I muted you by mistake, so please start again.
That's okay.
Start again.
All right. No, I was just saying that I was listening to a lecture by Andrew Harvey recently, and he spoke about something that he said was something that his greatest spiritual teacher said, and that's a man in India named Father Bede Griffiths. And he said they were talking about the state of the world, and this was 25, 30 years ago. And Father Bede Griffiths said he had been shown in meditation, his guides had showed him some scenes, and he said, Andrew, we're going to go through a very, very challenging time. This earth is going to be faced with a quickening. And it's a, you know, it's a, an opportunity to transform into a whole new human race, a whole new paradigm could be born. And he said, there are a few scenarios that could play out. And, you know, one of them is where we just all continue plunging headlong down into the place where it looks like we're going, which is to, you know, destruction, selfishness, and annihilation, you know, down the low road. And there was one other scenario, I can't remember what it was, but he said there's a different scenario. There's a scenario, he said, this is the one I feel is going to happen, and that is that the divine, in all its wisdom and love for us, is going to push us to our limits. It's going to push the earth to its limits, where it seems as though all is lost. It seems as though the environment is about to collapse, that we can't sustain life on the planet anymore. We're all going to be pushed into chaos and destruction, and the depths of our shadow into a collective and personal dark night of the soul, and we'll get pushed right to the edge. But then we will, through grace, we will see the light, and we will choose differently. We will choose, enough people will choose to wake up. We'll choose love, that everything can then transform. But first, you know, we're brought to our knees, basically, as is the earth. So he said, that's the scenario that I feel is going to play out. And I feel the same thing. I feel that's what we're in. You know, I don't think we've been pushed to our limits quite yet. You know, it's probably going to get a bit uglier before it gets better. But I do believe that the benevolent beings who guide our planet really want to see us succeed and evolve as a species, to see this human experiment succeed. So I feel like we're being given lots of support, and there are just legions of angels surrounding all of us and surrounding the earth, supporting us as we learn to live in love, basically, you know, to move beyond victim consciousness and to live in love, essentially, if you want to name it in a very concise way. So anyway, I share that with you just because I think the temptation right now for most people is to give up. You know, we all want to give up on spirit, and we just want to say, please stop the planet. I'm getting off now. I don't want to incarnate here again. I don't want to be part of this. I'm ready to check out. It's easy to do that. We have, just like the poem that I read, you know, we have every excuse. We have every excuse to say that and to give up and to say too much trampling. And yet, you know, the divine is right there with us saying, cotton in my ears. you can feel that way if you want to, but just wait. I'm gonna trample you till you're perfect. And then you'll never stop praising my name.
It's that big faith and trust piece that we are being asked to surrender into.
Yeah.
Yes. And Mitra says, in astrology of this month of April, the theater of spirit is fully empowered with four main players. In the story of stars, our spirits in April are being released from the chain of rock of our ancestors around us, one by one, by cutting the dragon's head and releasing the winged horse of our winged spirit beings. We are doing this collectively this April and May. May we do it with love and with truth and on the wings of our angels.
Beautiful. Thank you, Mitra. Wow, that's
really
very hopeful.
Yeah, I can really feel into that energetically. And Norma shared a couple of links, a link to Jacinda Ardern's memorial speech and Roko Tatu Tatu, I hope I'm saying that right, We Are One, and Asalamu Aleikum, forgive me for that, Peace Be Upon You. So maybe we could somehow share these links. She said these are all on YouTube to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty easy if you go to YouTube or Google and just Google New Zealand Prime Minister hugging
yes.
Muslim woman, you know, that kind of, you'll
yes.
find that it's
yes.
pretty popular. It's gone viral, so you'll find it.
Right.
Because we don't have a way to share the links. But
okay.
What I do know, one of the things that you just read, Barbara, I forget who you said wrote it in, but
yeah.
it's an Arabic phrase. It's Salam Aleikum, and that's peace be
oh.
with you.
Salam
and that's
alaikum.
When,
yes. he is,
when
yes.
you're, when,
but,
yeah, when you're in an Arab country, like we take groups to Egypt frequently, and when we go there, that's the greeting that when you greet somebody and when you leave somebody, you say Salam Aleikum, and they say Aleikum Salam, peace be with you.
Wow, that gives me goosebumps, Brad.
No, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Oof.
I mean, what a way to greet each other, right?
And that was Norma, excuse me, that was Norma who shared that. So thank you, Norma.
Thank you, Norma. Thank you so much.
Okay, and we have a couple more hands raised. Linda Peters, you have the mic, and I'm going to mute.
Whoops.
Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Nope, you're there. We can hear you. You're there.
Good. Okay. Well, I have been trampled quite a lot in the last few weeks. my grace is just oozing. I was in Baja California. The community down there that Gary and I are a part of has. I feel as though my archangels and guides are with me down there. There are so many other people that are seem to be on a path. It's not the same as mine. Very, very close to it. And so even though there's nobody there who is a Corelight person, I feel very supported and loved when I'm there. But I came back. I'm in Portland. Well, not in Portland, but I'm out in the country. I'm sitting in my longtime bedroom looking out at the trees, and the sun's shining through right now. It's quite beautiful. But on the way, there was a stopover in Los Angeles where the flight eventually was canceled, but not until about 12:30 in the morning. And I got taken to the wrong hotel, and I only had about 2 hours sleep that night, and so staggered into San Francisco to one of my daughter's homes to see her eldest in high school play, which was Beauty and the Beast, and I had never seen that before, but it's such an amazing, you know, it's a Walt Disney-fied version of the patriarchal, you know, the male-female energies struggle that's going on right now, that it just brought tears to my eyes, in addition to the fact that my granddaughter was so beautiful on stage, I could hardly believe it. But the next day when we were going to the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art, my wallet that hung over my shoulder, a travel thing that I had bought for the trip to Greece 2 years ago, it flat out disappeared. Spirit just took it from me. And inside it was, of course, money and cards, but also the index cards on which I had written all of the identity, you know, for sign on to all of my everything that I do online and all the passwords. And it has not reappeared. So that happened exactly a week ago today. I have spent the last week trying to reconstruct those elements of my egoic identity, which it seems I need in order to function in the modern world. And it has been extremely tiring, extremely hard, almost, you know, some days it just feels like I can't possibly get all this done. I couldn't at first figure out what in the world I was supposed to learn from this. At this point, at this vantage point, it seems pretty clear that this is the ego dissolution outpicturing in the world, and therefore affecting what I'm able to do. It took me days to get a new copy of the driver's license. Fortunately, the first thing that did appear in the mailbox was my debit card, which I need in order to, you know, access any of my finances. And even on this call right here, having it interrupted, Brad, you had just said in our meditation, just quietly be in your own cave of Brahman, no sound but my voice. and your voice cut out. So,
that's funny.
And then Barbara picked it up, and it was, and as the call went on, and you know, it's still clicking in and out. And throughout the call, my grandson has been trying to get in the door of my bedroom, and I've had to shoo him out because I'm trying to concentrate on the call. So it just goes on, and you know, I'm bullied by the communion that we have here, such as it is.
Well, I hear you, Linda. I think your story is applies to all of us. We've all been through something similar, you know, major challenges. And I feel like what you're saying is, you know, the only appropriate choice in this time is to surrender, right? To surrender to some form of perfection that we can't fathom. There's some divine perfection to this we cannot understand, but we do have to surrender to it. And what it's doing, I think, for most of us is it shatters. Oh, there's an echo. It shatters the illusion that we have any control whatsoever. And I think that might be one of the greatest illusions that we as humans with egos are here to let go of, you know, that we actually have some form of control. And so anyway, I think the surrender is part of that. So I hope that helps.
I do too. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome. It's like, and what Chris was saying about determination versus acceptance, you know, that all weaves into part of what I'm experiencing here too. I mean, clearly I have to accept that it's time to reconstruct whatever identity I'm supposed to have. And
that's it. Great metaphor. Great metaphor of losing your identity.
Yeah.
It's the dissolution and rebirth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You were taken offline, wiped clean.
Absolutely.
And restart.
And
time to reboot, Linda.
Reboot.
Time to reboot.
And my both my iPad and my iPhone were too old to accept the new programs that will do password management for you. So I had to go out and get Friday, the last day of spring break here. The Apple Store was so jammed, it was like being in a gymnasium during a basketball game, and everybody in all the stands is screaming. And I was there for like 2.5 to 3 hours to get a new iPad and a new iPhone so that I could do the work I needed to do. Everything.
Wow. Well, Linda, thank you for sharing. I have to say, I'm looking. I think we have a few more hands, and there's not much time. So
okay.
I want to make sure that you say everything you need to say, but we also need to give some other people the mic. So how are you feeling?
Good.
Does that feel complete to you?
It does feel complete. Thank you so much.
All right. Wonderful. Love you so much. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Linda. That was great. And I got a clarification from Norma on the web that she said it is one link, and these are the true phrases she used. It is her speech at the memorial, not the image Brad mentioned.
Oh.
So that's what that was. So thank you, Norma, for that. Okay. And my apologies for the echo here. Okay, so the next person who has their hand raised is Tanea. Tanea, you have the mic.
Hello, good morning, everybody. Hello, is anybody there?
Yeah, hi, Tanea. Can you hear me?
Oh yeah. Hi.
Yeah.
No, I got
okay.
You.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome.
We're
Thank
here.
You.
We're here, Tanea. We're just muting you so we don't have an echo of feedback. But we're right here with
we're
you.
Muting us.
Oh. Yes.
We're muting us.
You've got it.
Yep.
You've got it.
Well, I'll have to say I was giving into the hopelessness for a while and went into the downward spiral, watching all the destruction happening around me. But then came along the Green New Deal by the Senator Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and others, and that inspired my own state, Oregon, to make its own Green Deal. And from that, I've seen quite an impressive amount of bills, both in the state House and Senate, that are things that I prayed for a long time, that are protective of wildlife and the environment. And one that I thought was like really funny, because I used to see this on Facebook where, you know, other states have made these wildlife corridors where like wildlife can cross over a highway or in a tunnel, so they don't get ran over, you know, by busy traffic. And then I saw that there was a bill in the House for my state to do that, and it like orders the Department of Transportation to start creating these things. So I was like, oh, that is so cool. And then there was another bill that would address the forestry issues in our state. It would be a ban on clear cutting, which is like the standard mode of, you know, operation around here, where they can clear cut like an entire mountainside of trees, several hundred acres at a time. And then they spray with all kinds of chemicals by helicopter. And there's many people and animals that end up getting sick from this. And there's been many attempts in the past to ban this practice. And so far, only one county in the state has been successful. But here was a bill for the entire state. And so I was really starting to, you know, feel a new sense of hope and like things are actually might, you know, be changing. So I attended the hearing for these bills at the state capitol, and I was prepared to testify in favor of them. And then here comes the logging industry. You know, they showed up in full force, of course, and they pretty much squashed the bill like a bug. You know, they had all the Department of Forestry and other government entities on their side, and the legislators seemed like they were easily convinced that, you know, the logging side is right and they're doing everything okay. So it was kind of painful to watch these bills just kind of vanish, you know, right like that. It wasn't easy to be there, but I did learn a lot too. You know, just sitting there, it was very empowering to be there and just to watch everything that was going on. And I was surrounded by the industry people, and it was kind of a weird feeling that I started to feel their energy kind of merge with mine, and I could really feel into their side of things and how they don't really think they're doing anything wrong, and they're really proud of what they do. It's like they're family heritage, you know, and they have a lot of things on their side, like logic. I mean, it's totally logical to do clear cutting, and that's the most efficient way. So I came away with the feeling that something is really missing from the environmental side. Like, we're not connecting to, you know, their side of the story. So just kind of made me ponder, like, what is that? You know, what is really that link there? It's obvious that, you know, a lot of people aren't really ready to change. And I thought, well, maybe things just aren't bad enough for them to really kind of start valuing a tree more than what money they can get from it. Like, what about the wildlife and the water and the air? So I was just kind of sitting with that. I'm still kind of sitting with that. But these new bills did seemed to me like a seed was planted, like it's a sign of more to come, you know, and it's very empowering to be able to submit testimony and knowing that what I said, you know, carries a new, a transmission of maybe a new paradigm and get some new ideas in there. I'm going to keep moving forward with it.
Well, that's beautiful, Tanea. And I feel like what you're saying is that sustainable practices and returning to the laws of nature are part of this new paradigm of the heart that's birthing. And we're starting to see the glimmering of it. You know, even though those bills, those new laws didn't pass, they still were there. The fact that they exist is a sign, you know, and it may be that it has to get a little worse before it gets better, before we really, you know, we get pushed to the edge before we really see, we have to have those. So I think the fact that you went and that you were able to process yourself into the place of, you know, having a tolerance and an understanding for these people, the opposite side, is the first, it's the first big step. As Leslie always taught us, the path to unconditional love, the path into the fully open heart, starts with tolerance and respect and understanding. Mm-hmm. That's how it starts. And then it moves into compassion and ultimately into forgiveness and unconditional love. So you're describing this journey beautifully. I'm really happy to hear what you're sharing. Thank you.
Thank you.
I agree 100%, Tanea. I know we're rapidly running out of time here, and I want to make sure that everybody has a chance to speak. But I think that the key piece here that you're sharing that I'm so thrilled to hear, Tanea, is that rather than projecting out onto the other side, as your heart is opening, you're looking at where we as a collective might be missing something in our communication or our understanding of the other side. And this is the bridge that's going to bring us together. Because rather than fighting and defending and, you know, being a right fighter and only seeing our side of things, I'm thrilled, Tanea, to hear what you are sharing. And I just want to say thank you so much to you, because I know you have been doing this for a very long time. And your commitment, your dedication, your courage has made this doorway possible. So I just want to say a big thank you to you, and that this is a key piece here that is going to bridge the gap. So keep going. And if there's anything that I can do or we can do to help in this process, please let us know.
Yes, I will. Thank you very much, Barbara.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you for going there and representing all of us.
Yes.
You did it. You showed up. You put your body there. That's fantastic.
It really is.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yay, Tanea. Okay, so we have another hand here, and that is, I'm guessing it's June. June, you have the mic.
Hi, yes, of course it's June. Hi, yes, you know, Tommy doesn't talk.
Hey, June.
Sending love. I wanted to say two things. First, I wanted to thank Chris for his sharing. It's right on where I'm at, and it was great to have a voice put to it. And the other thing is for Tanea, but it's for everybody really. Is there's a show that came on Netflix, and it's called One Strange Rock, and it's narrated by Will Smith. It's very well done, and it talks about how the Earth was formed and all the different things that make up the Earth. How did we get here? How did it happen scientifically? And it doesn't, you know, really speak so much to the spiritual side of it, but what I took from it is I'm very encouraged that, you know, no matter where humans end up on all of this, is that the Earth will continue, and the Earth on a daily basis heals itself. and, you know, this journey that humans are on that is so destructive. You know, at times it's so easy to get wrapped up in the despair of it because it feels so physically real to us. And we see these things, and, you know, whenever you see atrocities, you know, if you have any sort of heart at all, you know, it touches you in ways that it's almost hard to fathom. But, and it leaves you in a state of not wonderment, but dismay. And, you know, you do lose that sense of wonder and, you know, have this disconnection, which, of course, you know, being in the shadow, that's all you can see. But this show, it gave me a whole different perspective. Even though it wasn't a spiritual show, I just felt like it had a lot of spiritual answers. And to even these tiny, tiny microbes as to what really creates the earth and what sustains it that we can't see with the naked eye. And I just thought, you know, they outnumber humans like billions and trillions to us. And there's 7 billion of us on the planet. So it really left me with a feeling of hope rather than despair. I mean, I don't know how, you know, the human race is going to end up in all of this. You know, it may go into extinction. But the earth will not.
The earth will not.
And that was really powerful to see.
It was really powerful,
and I just wanted to share that.
Thank you, June. Beautiful. Now I'm hearing the echo.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much,
yes,
June. That was
you.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much, June. That was wonderful.
And to have the hope.
To have the hope.
Yeah, beautifully spoken. It's so important when we get those little glimmers of the hope, when we get the glimmers of something sustainable, something that reflects the new paradigm, something we can hold on to say, yeah, you know, we can get there. That is critical. And we have to stop and pay attention to those things. So thank you for sharing that.
Yes, and again, to choose love and to choose the love of Mother Earth over our fear. I think that's an exquisite reminder. And sorry, everybody, for the echo again. Okay. And so the next person who has their hand raised is Denise. Denise, you have the mic.
Oh, hi. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, just sorry, the echoing in my ear. You're getting ready to conclude and talking about the glimmer of hope and all the beautiful things that everyone has said today and the beautiful things that Brad has led with. I decided this morning to go out to my favorite place to walk my dogs and to listen to the talk. And as I drove up, and this will probably mean something to Brad, of course, and Barbara too, because they're guided by hawks. But as I drove up, I looked over to this tall, tall redwood tree that I call the hawk tree. And as I drove up and parked, looked up, and there was a huge hawk up in the tree facing the sun, and so it was, its breast was just blazing golden, and it's a very tall tree, so it was remarkable. And so we went on our walk, and it's a funny thing about this hawk tree, but I'll see a hawk up there, and then I'll look away for just a brief amount of time, and when I look back, it, you know, it's off and gone, and it's like, you know, where is that spirit hawk disappearing to? And so I did that, and I immediately looked up again, and it was gone. I'm like, oh, why didn't I even see it fly away? And then I look around, and there it is, or its mate was right in another tree next to me. I'm like, oh, okay, good. So I go for a walk, and then I'm coming back, and I'm standing next to my golden retriever in the light, just listening to Brad talk, and he's right at the place where he's talking about he came to the, you know, came back to visit the United States that August, and right when he was talking about the wall of fear and everything else that is going on here in the collective unconscious, I'm just standing there, just listening, you know, thinking about that and thinking about what it would feel like, and all of a sudden, it makes me kind of want to cry, a little yellow butterfly flew right around us within a foot and a half, just flew around, and it was so pale and, you know, small. I'm like, you know, I'm looking around trying to follow it, and it does sort of a drive-by, and then it disappeared. It's like, wow, that was kind of amazing, because it was literally right when Brad was talking about the wall of fear. And then I finished my walk, but I didn't want to go back home. I wanted to continue to listen, but it's kind of hot out. So I drove to another place where I could be in the shade of these beautiful redwoods, you know, because the dogs get hot. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm just listening and looking around, and it's, like, gloriously beautiful. And I look over to my left, and there is another hawk, same hawk, not sure, but another hawk just, you know, I don't know, 40 feet away, just hanging out. It was really pretty amazing. So I thought those signs, as profoundly as anything, really underline what all the beauty that Brad was saying, and that there's actually, you know, really more than a glimmer of hope. It is solid, and it's visible, and it exists, and we just have to see it and believe it and believe it.
Beautiful, Denise. Thank you so much for sharing that. Beautiful signs and synchronicities.
Yeah,
and you've sent me
yours.
You sent me the hawk feather. You sent me the hawk feather before, so I feel especially touched by that story. Thank you.
Oh, and that's the tree that the hawk feather floated out of.
Of
just
course.
Saying.
Yeah. Lest you needed any better sign, you got it right. Good.
Exactly.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you for everything, all the beautiful things you've relayed today, because they're always so supportive and do give us hope to go on.
Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful Denise.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're getting close to the end here, and we have one hand left, Brad. So,
okay, so Barbara, let's make this the last hand, because I still need to share the whole
some
debates.
Announcements,
and
yes.
And then we want to end with a prayer.
Beautiful. Okay, Tia, you have the mic.
Well, I'd love to speak into the beautiful field and do a call out to all the citizens of America that are on the call to consider contributing to Marianne Williamson's presidential bid. There's some really powerful voices for love and evolutionary shifts that are running for president in 2020, and I'm not typically a political person at all. As a matter of fact, I've been really learning about the art of consent with this whole American political scene. But now is such an opportune time to bring into the collective of voices of those who are signing up to serve. And Marianne Williamson is one of them. And Tulsi Gabbard is another one. Andrew Yang. Those are the three that I'm kind of watching and supporting, but what they need right now, the one of those three names that I believe is Marianne Williamson, who needs people to donate, even if it's just a dollar, so she can reach the 65,000 donating supporters that will help her be accepted to the Democratic debates starting in June. And we know the message she'll bring will be profound, so thank you for letting me take this moment. Much love.
Oh, thank you, Tia. Thank you very much. Yeah, I've read Marianne Williams' stuff about her running for president. It's just beautiful. Just beautiful to think that she might do that. Or that she is, but that she might actually get in the running. Yeah.
Yeah. The what we can do as spiritual communities is send in at least a dollar, not like we're voting for her, but just to get her message on a platform where the most people can hear it. And, of course, for the energy's sake. And
yes,
yeah.
And her loving presence, contributing to the energetic field, the vibratory frequency of the field.
Yeah. So if you feel
called, pray for her.
Pray, and contact your friends and maybe get them to consider donating just even a dollar. It's not about it's just about getting the voices on the stages at this point.
Beautiful. Thank you, Tia.
Thank you.
Okay.
So thank you, Tia. Thank you, Tia. Is that the end, Barbara? Is that the end of the hand?
That is it, Brad.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for participating. I just love the sharing and questions portion. It's wonderful to connect as a community that way. So just before we say our final prayer, just very quickly, I'm going to mention about these upcoming events that I think you'd like to know about. We're going to be sending a number of emails, group emails, out in the coming few weeks. We started this past week. We sent a hold the dates email. I heard that a number of people didn't get it, and I know that there are new rules in place with group emails, and so a lot of people are not getting group emails that they should be getting, that they signed up for. So if you're not getting the Core Light emails and you want to know about these events, do send us a note, send us an email to let us know. And we'll have our tech person check on you to make sure you're getting the emails. So anyway, some of these were announced this week, but I'll just share with you here. One email that's coming out this week is going to be about the event I mentioned that we're supporting of our colleague and friend Anna Breitenbach, the world-renowned animal communicator. And that event is going to be Saturday, April 27th at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Again, Saturday, April 27th at 9 a.m. Pacific time. We will send out an email this week with the details. Our friend Victoria Moore is organizing it, so you can sign up through her through her website. We'll send you all those details. But this is going to be a profound event. It's the first time Anna will have spoken publicly for a number of years because she's been in a battle for her physical survival with health issues. And she's coming through the other side now. So she'll share more about that, and she'll share more about messages that she's getting from the oversouls of various species about the state of the earth and what we can do to make a difference right now. So she's a walking miracle, and she's an extraordinary animal communicator. We highly recommend attending. We hope you'll join us. It would mean a lot to us and to Anna for you to be there. And there are already, I think there are already like 200 people signed up. It got announced last week, and she's got a mailing list of several hundred thousand people. So it has filled up very quickly, but we're announcing to the Core Light list this week. So if you want to come, I strongly suggest it's a limit of 300 people. We can only take 300 people on the call. So it is getting full quickly. And if you want to join us, please sign up quickly. Like I said, you'll get the email one day this week. And as I said, I'm going to be in the United States this summer, and I can't wait to see you all. The dates and places we sent a hold the dates email this past week, and we'll be sending more information in the coming weeks with the logistics. But real quickly, it's Marin County, California, June 27th through 30th. It's Portland, Oregon, July 12th through 14th. And another event in Portland, Oregon, the 26th, July 26th through July 28th. And then I'll be in Boulder, Colorado, sometime during the first half of August. We're not sure which of those two weekends yet. That'll be announced. And then I'll be in Albany, New York, the second half of August. And again, we're not sure which of those two weekends yet, but we will announce it. If you would, please look for the email we sent. There's actually a place you can click in the email, and we really need to know if you're interested in coming to the events or volunteering at the events, or if you can help spread the word about the events. This is important to us to know. So if you could please look for that email and let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Lastly, on my side, I want to let Barbara announce something, but on my side, the last thing is there are still spaces available for the retreat in Crete in September, September 8th through 24th in Greece on the island of Crete. And I'm co-leading that trip with my colleague and friend, Cynthia Jurs. It's an Earth Treasure Vase pilgrimage, and it's on our website. You can read about it. But here's the key. If you want to come, we have to know by April 15th. So we've only got 2 weeks left. Once April 15th rolls around, that's it. There's no more chance. So do meditate on this. If you think you're supposed to be there, you need to let us know by April 15th. Okay, and thank you. Thank you all. I really hope to see you in person sometime this year. Barbara, would you like to mention a couple things about what you're doing? You've got something very exciting coming up.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Brad. And I'm also very excited for you to be coming to the States and traveling in person. I can feel energetically how big this is. So very, very excited and looking forward to seeing and being with you, Brad, over the summer. And so for me, thanks to a relatively new spiritual warrior, Susan Mills, and Susan doesn't even know the details of this yet, so Susan, you're going to be hearing this, the actual culmination of this. Susan introduced me to a woman by the name of Elizabeth Wood, who is a student of Lucia Renee's. And Elizabeth invited myself and another student of Lucia's, Meg Archambault, to lead a Squares Processing retreat. It will be a week-long retreat from the 22nd of April until through the 29th of April. Most of it will be online, sort of similar to our caucus, but we will have some live events at the beginning and the end of the retreat, and it will allow people to really immerse yourselves in the Squares Processing technique. So I would love for any and all of you who would like to join us. We'll be sending out further information around that within the next week or so. And the other piece that I would like to announce is that I will be doing a weekend course, probably the third or fourth weekend in May. It hasn't been firmed up yet, on embracing the divine feminine. And hopefully we'll be sending out a brochure in the next week or so regarding that as well. And so I'd like to extend a personal invitation to each and every one of you to join us for that Core Light event, embracing the divine feminine. So, yes, thank you, Brad, and I'm really excited, and I too am like many of you who have really gone through this very intense dark night and can see the butterfly and feel the wings beginning to dry now, and it felt pretty much of a void, so it's wonderful to have this energy starting to move forward again. So thank you, Brad, and thank you, Leslie, and thank each and every one of you in Core Light who have been so loving and kind and supportive as I've gone through this journey. So let me unmute you, Brad. And I feel complete. Thank you.
I feel complete. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. So hope you all can join Barbara in that retreat. It sounds wonderful. Okay, so let's wrap up. Let's wrap up with a prayer. And I invite you to get comfortable now and close your eyes. And just take some long, slow, deep breaths. Breathe in the light and breathe out any tension. Breathe in this beautiful field of love, golden white light field of love that surrounds us. Breathe it right in. Take it into your body and breathe out any tension you might be feeling. We call on the Great Spirit, And we call on Divine Mother, Father God, Self that we all are. We call on all the angels and archangels and ascended masters, all the lineage masters and gods and goddesses and all the beings who surround us in the highest love and support. And we thank you. Thank you for joining us on this call. Thank you for surrounding us in love and light and support and for strengthening our field of love and wisdom and beauty and upliftment. We're deeply, deeply grateful for this time that we share. We're deeply grateful for these beautiful bodies that we wear that are on loan to us from Mother Earth for a few short years, recognizing that one day we slip them off like an overcoat and we return to our true home, which is the Self with a capital S, which is the pure essence and the light that we are, the soul essence. We ask, please help us to remember this throughout our days, that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And may we choose love in every moment. We're so deeply grateful for the opportunities, even though they look like challenges. We know that there's a gift and an opportunity, and that we are merely like grapes being trampled into perfection by the divine. So we give thanks, open our hearts in gratitude, and especially for this time that we share with each other once a month on these calls. We're deeply, deeply grateful for the community, for the company of the holy, for the ability to share love and hold this beautiful field of love together. May it go out and embrace the earth and embrace all beings, all life, animals, plants, humans. May we spread the light wherever we go and live in love always. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Aho. So if you'd like to stay in meditation for a little while, Leslie and I will join you. We'll stay quietly in meditation. We're going to hang up now, but we'll stay in this field with you, and we'll hold this field with you throughout the month until next time when we meet at the end of April. And I send you all my love, many, many blessings from me and Leslie here in South Africa. Bye for now.